Before I call the meeting to order this evening, we do have the swearing in of the newly elected, recently elected aldermen. That happens before the roll call and the opening of the meeting. First alderman to be sworn is Alderman Dandry of the 1st Aldermanic District.
You swear you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin, and will faithfully and impartially discharge your duties of Aldermanic District 1 to the best of your ability, so help you God.
I will.
The next alderman to be sworn is Alderman Dan Mayer, the 2nd Aldermanic District.
Do you swear you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin, and will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of Aldermanic District 2?
And the last for this election is the 5th District Alderman, Alderman Mike Barber. With that, we now officially have the number of aldermen we need for a quorum. So, Madam, I will now call the county council meeting of April 16th to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman
Dandria. Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman
Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Excuse. Please rise and join the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes, as defined by the city's ordinance.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the newly elected alderman, and especially my alderman, Mike Barber. You've been a good one, Mike, so just hang right in there and do it again. So what I really got to say was I'd like to speak to item number 21. The richest man in Wisconsin is John Menard, Jr. He's worth, according to the internet, he's worth $10.8 billion, that's with a B, $10.8 billion. And I think it's a crying shame, and it makes me sick, that his company would come here and ask us for a back pay with regards to his taxes and so forth. Now, back when I used to get around, I dealt with a lot of companies. And there was a law back then that said that you had to pay taxes on your, not only your property, but you had to pay taxes on the items that you had on your lots and so forth. I'm not sure, because I've been retired for 26 years, I'm not sure if they've changed that law or not. But if they didn't change the law, they may be asking for something they may not be entitled to. Now, back again about, it would be 35, 40 years ago. There was an American, but I don't remember his name, but he came up with a system called Just in Time, JIT. The Americans would not listen to him, and he went to Japan, and they introduced that. They would bring the property, the items that they were going to make into products. They'd bring it on their property, and before that, Just in Time, they had to pay the taxes on those. But once they brought in Just in Time, they would, a day at a time, they'd bring in the products that they were going to make into a product to sell. Now, that lowered their taxes. And if I'm right, if that law has not been changed, I believe that Menards is asking for something he's not due, because his store is full of stuff that he's selling. And in the past, as I understand it, he's been paying taxes on those, and he doesn't want to. But I think we should check into that and see whether or not he still has to pay taxes on all of the products that he's selling. And if he is, he's asking again, I'll say it, he's asking for something he's not due. So has the city checked into that? If not, we need to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Anyone else?
Good evening. Bruce Demetris, 6024 West Allwood Drive. And congratulations to all the elected aldermen, especially my alderman, Mike Barber. I would like to discuss item 4 on the agenda, Andrew Ruffing. We've beaten this thing up quite a bit in our neighborhood, in front of this council, in front of the quarry council, the quarry committee. Forget about the conflict of interest that we've talked about. I mean, this gentleman works for City of Franklin. He's got contracts with the City of Franklin. He's got contracts with the quarry. He doesn't live close to the quarry. So he has no indication. He might be the greatest guy in the world. I'm not saying he's not. But he shouldn't be sitting on the quarry board, because he's not, doesn't live in the neighborhood of the quarry, doesn't hear the blast that we hear. And I would beg this council not to approve his appointment. We need to get somebody that lives close to the quarry, that understands what the neighbors are going through. Simple as that. I would like you guys to consider, you guys and girls, or ladies, excuse me, to consider Jill Erickson to replace Mr. Ruffin. He's not doing the residents any justice, and by you appointing him for another term, you are not doing the residents any justice. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. I'd like to draw your attention to item F, a letter dated April 7th from Clint Weininger from Payne and Dolan in response to the mayor's December 16th or 12th letter of 2018 about our concerns, neighbors, about the quarry. Since that letter is making its debut here at the county council meeting, I'd just like to make sure that that's forwarded to the quarry monitoring committee so that they know what's going on with that. I don't know why it's going here first before going to the committee. It's been 4 months in response. I don't know what the rush was. The other thing quickly is item G, having the quarry finally be surveyed, which the council thankfully gave direction to have happen with Stantec. I'd like to see both Alderwoman Wilhelm and Alderman Barber attend that survey along with resident during that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
My name is Fred Knipple, 5659 West Cascade Drive. I'm a member of the Quarry Monitoring Committee, and I'm here in support of Andrew Ruffling. I think he's a quality member of the committee because he has an expertise that not everybody else on the committee has. Now, to go along with that, I think there's some things that need to be said to the residents in the city, and some of these may hurt because, as I've read the PDDs, they are a contract between the city and the quarry operators. And if we think we're going to break that contract, it's going to be a long legal fight, and it's going to cost the city a lot of money. So I would not be in favor of anybody attempting to sue the quarry. And another thing would be, if everybody is so concerned about damage to their homes, how many people have filed claims with their homeowner's insurance, and how many of them have been paid? I don't think there's been very many. And the quarry has been, according to the data we get, within and under all of the regulations that the city puts on them, which are even stricter than the state requirements. So the quarry, in my opinion, is doing a pretty good job of being a good corporate citizen. Thank you.
Ms. Mills, good evening.
Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way. I wasn't going to speak on this, but I think I will now. I don't live in the district that you're talking about, the quarry district, but I've been going to quarry meetings for a couple of years now, and I don't like the idea that we look at the city as being divided up into these little units where you don't speak out for your fellow citizens, and that I've been fighting very hard to get better regulations on the quarry, even though I don't live in that district. And I think everybody that lives in Franklin is affected by that quarry and the dust that comes from it, and et cetera. And I think we have to start thinking more as a city of citizens rather than you can only sit on these committees if you live here or there. It's just like the Rock. The Rock is going to affect the entire city of Franklin, not just the people that live in District 2. And it's going to, in my opinion, going to drag the whole city down. So if only the people in District 2 are fighting against the Rock, it's going to be a lonely battle, but that will have an impact on the entire city of Franklin. So I think that we have to start thinking as a unit in terms of citizenship and not say that I don't value the citizens that live in this district because it's not my problem, and that you have to be, as a citizen of Franklin, you have to look at, my feeling is that I've gone to these quarry meetings for years. I don't sit on the quarry committee, but I fight very hard for quarry issues that affect the citizens in that district, and I would hope that they would in turn, if they believed in issues in other districts, would help citizens that lived in other districts that were having problems in those districts. So I think that anywhere you can get citizens in the city to sit on committees, to work for the betterment of the citizens, that's a good thing. And to say, we're not taking you on this committee because, like Andrew, because you don't live in this district, I don't think that's a valid, you have to think of another reason not to want them, I think. I'm sure my time is up, so I can't say anything else.
Thank you, Ms. Mills. Anyone else wish to speak? Mr. Seaver, good evening.
Orville Seymour, 3020 West Acre Avenue. We start with the new city logo. The highly touted survey was not in the city newsletter. It was not on the city webpage, but it was on the Franklin Community Facebook page, which most people think is official City of Franklin Facebook page, when in fact it is not. It's run by what appears to be two residents of Racine, another Franklin resident who appears to be closely allied with Mayor Olson. I should also note that anybody who makes a negative comment about Mayor Olson is that comment is either deleted or they're blocked or both. This highly touted survey, which is not scientific, but is a perception study, whatever that means. Mayor Olson discounted the beautiful new logo by a Franklin couple who drafted for nothing only but civic pride in their community. Mayor Olson referred to them last night's committee to hold meeting as that couple. In addition, Mayor Big Spender Olson found some money laying around in a fund from the tourism department, and instead of spending that money on something useful, he and he alone decided to spend it on a new logo and some fake survey. Was there an outcry from the public about the Franklin logo? No. Outcry came from just one person, Mayor Big Spender Olson. His entire effort calls into question your leadership skills when you're the only person who thought we should change the logo in the past 30 years. Now let me turn to Alderman Steve Taylor. Please allow me to bring forth the C word, corruption. Alderman Taylor, amid months of rumors and innuendo about him working for the developer of the Rock Sports Complex, what appears to be the only recipient donations from that developer. In fact, that developer, his wife, several employees or associates, has donated $4,200 to Alderman Taylor. Alderman Taylor brought forth 29 of the 39 amendments to the Ballpark Commons project, and the project's not even in his district. In addition, there are questions about the validity of Alderman Taylor's campaign finance reports. There are items that appear to be missing from his report, and a pending lawsuit against Alderman Taylor from Milwaukee County Supervisor Deanna Alexander. And lastly, Alderman Taylor is still misleading the public on his personal webpage, telling people he's still the Milwaukee County Supervisor, even though he lost that election for that position a year ago. Bottom line, tonight is you have the votes to pass these items here, but this may be a Pyrrhic victory. Just to know what a Pyrrhic victory is, victory is one which you initially lose, but win, but you lose in the end. I remind you that 2 months ago, I filed this document here, Exploratory Recall Committee. Just remember, all the power is derived from the people, and the people will hold you accountable.
Thank you, Mr. Seaver. Anyone else? No, we don't do that. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Anyone else wish to speak? Ms. Kent, good evening.
Dana Gitt, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. I would like to ask some questions about Ballpark Commons. I know that's surprising to you. What has changed that would cause the city to revise the current development agreement and the funding? With this plan revision, what is the total municipal subsidy for the Ballpark Commons apartments? Are you able to answer that question, or do I need to wait for the presentation? I'll wait. Okay, thank you. Is it $24 million? Is it more? The $22.5 million of public funding for Ballpark Commons already included the apartment development. Why is more funding required? Are Franklin citizens aware that the Ballpark Commons project is going to have over $40 million of public funding? The Elders financial spreadsheets indicate that it is version F. How many financial models did Elders perform to get this result? If this is version F of the Mandel TID, does that mean six other plans were discarded? How many versions did Ellers evaluate for TID number 5, north of Rawson? The development agreement has financial projections dated January 16, 2018 from Ellers, and they're indicated as version E. Now this is version U. If that is correct, there are 16 different financial models that were evaluated to try to make this financing plan feasible. That should make us all very worried. And I would like to know if the public would be able to find to review the worksheets and data that Ellers used for all the other 16 versions. What happens if the proposed hotel never gets built north of Rawson? The financial spreadsheet projects $22.5 million in value, which is up from the original $10.5 million on the first Ellers report in January of 2018. The developer should now guarantee that this project will be built if public financing is advised. But why would someone invest $22 million in a proposed hotel at this location when there are no new room generators? Or is this just another business idea in which the developer has no real-world experience? A public subsidy of over $40 million is, and the total for the project is outlandish. How is this scale of subsidy possibly beneficial to the taxpayers of Franklin? And paying for any private developer cost overruns should not be a taxpayer responsibility. The developer should go to the bank with his revised financing request. Taxpayers had nothing to do with the mistakes and miscalculations that were made and should not pay for them. Why is the city allowing the collateral and assets to be sold south of Rawson? Shouldn't those funds go back into paying down the TID or the debt service amount or even the cost overruns? Why continue to fund this project in hopes that it succeeds? Why is the city funding necessary to preserve potential developer profits and reward developer mistakes? Again, I ask, which I have numerous times, why not follow the original development agreement? I've read from the agreement several times during public meetings. The agreement states that the developer is to pay for cost overruns, payment in lieu of taxes for taxes and properties, shortfalls for debt service, and requires an unlimited personal guarantee from the developer. Almost time up? Okay.
Time is up.
Okay. We need to hold him accountable, stop making special accommodations for this project.
Ms. Ginn, that didn't mean to keep her.
Okay.
20 seconds.
I oppose this project and any modifications to the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy, we're not doing that. It's discourteous to the rest of the people in the audience who may not share your points of view. Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Pleva, good evening.
Good evening. Russ Pleva, 7259 South Cambridge Drive. I just got some of the PDFs on the Ehlers report on the numbers. I've spoken at this multiple times. And one of the things I would say is there's a lot of dollars that have been thrown around. I don't know what the numbers are for what's talked about here. But the calculations I keep coming up with are over $50 million.